My name is Rum. I'm an alcoholic. A few weeks ago, Carl sent me a message. Do you want to replace someone? And I say, oh yes, immediately, because I'm addicted, you know. I say yes to all. And then after 2 days, I send her a text. Is it in English? And she say yes. I say, okay. So I will try. I will start when I was very early. I come from a dysfunctional family, seemingly normal. My father was a fashion designer, my mother had a fashion shop, and behind the front door it was a mess. Me and my brother, we were the first time abused when we were around 6 years old, physically abused, because my father, he was really a ticking time bomb. You never know when he gonna explode, and so we grew up in constant fear. And very young, I felt the pain of the loneliness, like the hole in the donut, if as we know it. I was 12 years old. Me, my brother, and my mother, we were playing in a music company, a local music company, and. After rehearsal, we got a free ticket for a drink, and I ordered a beer, and that was amazing. It was an amazing feeling. From the first beer, I was addicted. Alcohol brought me something that nothing else could do for me. I felt connected. It relieved the pain. And so next week, every opportunity I had, I ordered alcohol, beer, whatever. Around 15 years, I remember a Sunday, I felt really bad, and I asked my father to go to the local football team to have a walk, to talk, to feel connected, or to feel protected, like a father has to do, to give a direction. But he on Sunday, he was sitting in his chair because he had a really important job, and everything was so important. He was shouting, "You don't know, I'm stressed," and we know how it works. He was really restless, unhappy, uncontent, irritated, everything. So I was walking around the streets in the neighborhood, and that was the moment that I said, "Fuck the world, I will live alone, I will control everything." And so it went worse, or better, how you name it. I start drinking, using drugs. I start stealing money from the shop of my mother, because it was their payback time for the way they treated me. And so I could justify what I am doing. From my 15 till my 30, it went worse, but seemingly everything was normal. I was a good student in secondary school. I went to the high school. I studied art. I studied music. But life was living me. Self-pity was my middle name. And I was a really destructive, limitless, aggressive fool at that time. Not nice to meet me, I can say. No break. And when I was loaded, it was always fun. For a half an hour. I was 30, and I was on a rock festival, and it was a time with the first mobile for the young people. The mobile is not from the Middle Ages, maybe I was, but I called at that time my girlfriend, and I dropped the cell phone in the audience, full madness. I come a bit later and fuck off. So I drove home, and I couldn't find the crossing between two highways. I couldn't find home, and it was like the last wake-up call for me, I think. And I don't know how, but the next day I called the AA. And the old-timer is here in the house. It was the first man I had on the phone. So I went to meetings, and life went better. Professional, I started playing music. My dream was to be a professional musician, and I became a professional musician. I met the mother of my children. It was in a depending relationship, upper dog, underdog. I was the upper dog, like my father. She was the underdog, pulling, pushing, everything. But we stay together because we had projects, buying a house together, building a house together, bigger than that from my father, of course. And we would have children, and she couldn't get children. So we adopted two children from Ethiopia, and a new world opened for me. But, of course, I was an addict, and I start working very hard, and it went worse. We lived next to each other, and I remember a time between Christmas and New Year, like around 10 days, there was no job. I was sitting at home, and at night, it was really a nightmare. I wake up at night and was totally like the financial fear, like written in the book. And that year I played 120 concerts, I produced a few albums, I did a lot of projects, so it was insane. But every week I went to the meeting. I was dry drunk. And after 20 years of AA, I had everything to be happy. But I was restless, irritated and discontent. I had a lot of psychosomatic pains, and still life was leaving me. So, after 20 years of marriage, on a Sunday, my wife said, I'm gonna leave you. And my colleagues, musicians, they say, you're a pain in the ass, but you are a good professional, and you're paying our invoices, we stay with you. So, after 20 years of meeting, no step two, no higher power, no belief in God. And that was the paralyzing fear. It was the second defeat, much bigger. Total collapse. And for me, there are two sides on the AA program. You have the spiritual side and the outside. And I was on the outside. A few months later, in a project, there was a woman working with me. And she looked very pretty, and I was still full of self-pity, and probably she would save me. So we started a relationship, of course, as a good addict. But I was on the other side. I was on the underdog side. And I can say you, stay on the upper dog side, please. You hurt the other one, but it hurt less yourself inside. So the pain of the existence was so intense that I hoped life would stop. I was addicted to the movie in my head of a ritual suicide as an ultimate resentment to my ex-wife and the world. So crazy was I. In the meeting in my home group, there was a visitor, and he was telling about his sponsor and sponsorship, because in the meeting where I was, there was no sponsorship, no program, just a bit talking, but without alcohol, but we still talking the same shit every week. And there was a visitor, and he was telling me about his sponsor, and it attracted me. It was the first time in my life I felt a solution, and it was for me it was urgent for me, because the movie in my head was total madness. So I went to that meeting. I talked to that fellow, and he had something really attractive in his eyes, and we start talking, we start calling. And he became my sponsor. And there was another fellow, he's here, an old timer, and I call him the sledgehammer, or my sledgehammer. And he cracked my ego, I can say. Thank you very much, he's there. So I start working with my sponsor, and the first rule was shut up and listen. And the second thing he said, and it are some insights, because I can talk the whole day, and the fellows I know, vegan, you know it, she say, you have to stop. Okay, I can continue. Thank you. And my sponsor, he said, the first human being that you're going to love is me. And he showed me what it was to equality between two people. But he has a dominant role. I know, I only knew dominant to be dominant or the underdog, but it was a new concept for me that you can be equal even to your children. They are human beings, they are equal, but you have a role as a father or a mother or whatever. And I called him every day, and I was honest. And I will give you a few examples how insane and selfish and pathetic I was. So I called him every day. Hello. Hi, Ron. How are you? I feel so bad. And he was really friendly. And every day he said, okay, what's written in the big book about it? Because every solution of life is in the big book. And after a few weeks, he said to me, why do you never ask how I am? And I said, oh, I thought it was all about me, no? Like the zero meridian runs through my ass. Eh? And then something changed. We did the steps and something changed. And I practiced to ask, how are you? And at a certain point, I started to mean it, and he went on holiday, and I was at home, and I was thinking, I hope you have a good time. It was the first time in my life I was thinking about someone else. And the next step was, hi, how are you? Yeah, good and bad. Okay, good. Why is it good? What changed? And the answer was always the same. I changed. I changed. I changed life. I changed my vision on life. And from good and bad to good, what changed? Well, one day there was in the meeting someone who asked me, do you want to, I think you are a bit attractive for me, do you want to be my sponsor? And I started working with sponsees. And that released me of the bondage of self. It was really an important step, because now they were in the middle. I was thinking about the solution for them and not for me. And that's how, for me, the program is working. But you know, we are not saints. And I will give you a small other example of my madness. And one day I was, a few years ago, I was like cutting the trees in the garden and had a lot of branches. And my children were helping me, and because they live half time with me and half time with the mother. And during the week I said to my son, maybe we can repair the oven to make to make some bread or pizza. And he say, yeah, but Stephen, the new friend of mama, he made a big one. I say, okay, Stephen made a big one. So I need to rent Tradition 7, my own stuff. I need to rent a hedge trimmer. And I say, yeah, you have to rent it, but Stephen has a big one. At the end of the day, I was tired, I have to bring, so I put all the branches in the car, and I drive to the container park, and he say, yeah, but Stephen, he has a big trailer, and one time. So, on Friday, my car was very dirty. I put the bags in the car. I bring the children to their mother. And on the driveway to their home, I saw the big trailer. And I started in my head, okay, that's why she left me, because Stephen has a big trailer. Now I understand. But it was really serious. It was really serious. And I had to put their bags on the back door and in the backyard. Stephen had a second trailer. So I drove back home, and I start laughing with myself. I think it's tradition for it. Don't take yourself so serious. And it was the first time I could see it with a helicopter view, and I drove like to the car wash, and I bought a big ice cream as a good addict, the biggest one. I worked a lot and with my sponsor, and I give you some insights I had. The willingness of changing is very important, not to keep your old ideas. And there is a lot of resistance to let them go, and for me that's the connection with the higher power. And my sponsor helped me to find it, but I have to do it. It's all about action. I like to analyze because I don't have to change anything, but analyzing without action, there is no transformation. And if you analyze too much, as I did, it's paralyzing you. You think you're working, but you're standing still. And if you don't want to give up your old ideas, and like step six, there is no surrender. And if there is no surrender, there's no changing. In my step four, on top, there was my father, the resentment. There was a lot of resentment. I used him. I used the resentment as a wild card to do anything I would do. And I understood that it's not because I have accepted things that I approve them. So I prepared it with my sponsor for a ninth step to my father. I called him. I never spoke to him face to face. It was only together with my mother. We never had a talk, never. So I was around 50 years old, and I made an appointment. I picked him up. He has the disease of Parkinson, but I just could, he could talk at that time. And he was full of fear. He said, "What do you want from me? What do you want?" I said, "No, it's okay." And it touched me. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I asked him, "Who are you? I don't know you." And he started talking. He was talking for 2 hours, who he was, where he came from, what he was thinking, what he was doing. He made some amends. I didn't ask it, but because no expectations. My sponsor said no expectations. And he knew the character defects that he gave us, and the fucked up blueprint he gave us. And I dropped him at home, and I called my sponsor, and I said, "The resentment is gone. Something strange happened. It's gone." And from that day, I can't feel the resentment for him anymore. So that's a kind of the new happiness, of the new freedom or new happiness. As I said, I call my sponsor almost every day. And sometimes we have small talk, because small talk is very important. And he picks out something of the conversation, and he said, "Between you and your children and your new relationship, the resentment to your ex-wife is a problem. So you have to do a step nine." And I say, "No." "No." And he said to "But I'm one of the lucky guys who started with my sponsor." And I say, "I don't believe you, but I will do it." So I knew. I said, "No, I knew that I have to do the action. So I have to go through my resistance." And I say, "We are not in speaking terms for more than 2 years. She don't want an appointment. You never know." Okay. So I text her a message. And she sent back, "Okay, I can meet you this evening online." I said, "Okay, online." So I called my sponsor back. She would meet me online. I said, "No, face to face." Oh, he's such a pain in the ass. So he was right. So I sent her back. It's something important. I will. I have to see you, okay. And then next Friday, a few days later, she would meet me in a coffee bar. So we had an appointment at 9 o'clock, and as a good addict, I was there to control the situation. 9:15, I entered the shop, I entered the bar, and she was sitting there already. The bar was empty, except where she was sitting, and then like 75 centimeters beside her, there was a woman who was really interested in our conversation. And I said, you know, I'm in the AA, there's a step 9, she knows the program a bit. Okay. So I prepared it on a paper, and that's my ex-wife. So. She's okay? Okay, thank you. I'm sitting there taking the paper and start like a little bit crying and stuff. He said, shall I read it? I said, no, I have to tell it to you. And so I worked hard on the step 8 for the willingness to forgive her part. And at the end she said, is it okay that I don't react? And I said, okay, it's okay. But from that point, we are in speaking terms. My relationship changed, but I was really afraid. And how, when she's doing something with the children or that I don't like, how do I gonna react? And my sponsor said, "Trust your higher power." And from that day till now, I trust on my higher power and. The relationship is equal, it's normal, I have respect for her, something changed. And it changed, and how, I don't know. I had to learn to listen deep inside, step 3. For me, God is deep inside, what's right, behind the self-seeking, behind the fear, behind the anger. God is now the employer. And if he exists or not, I don't care. For me it works. And what does it mean for me today? The new freedom and a new happiness. Because there is not a lot that changed. Because I have the same job. But I'm enjoying. I like to play music and I can make a living. So that did not change. I have the same children. He has my ex-wife now. but... mostly everything is the same, but my vision changed. For example, now I've like a construction for feeding birds in the garden, and I'm looking to the birds, and I have a lot of plants. I'm carrying plants. Now I can swear I give you a butthead with 10-year warranty if you saw it 5 years ago that I would like to look to the birds. It's crazy. So if sponsors ask me, what will it be, the new freedom? I say, I don't know. We don't know. But it will. It's okay. Today it's okay. And the 1st of January, I sent a message to my sponsor. Thank you for being there every day. And I ended the message with, I love you. He learned me how to love someone, how to be connected. It's amazing. From a real self-seeking fool to someone who can love someone. And more than 1 year ago, I met my partner, and it's a relationship in equality, without upper dog, with no games, and we choose for each other today. It's really different, and my vision is changed. And to new fellows or sponsors, I say, the only thing you can keep is your breathing, and it's a reflex. The rest has to change. I work hard on my recovery, and I try to practice step 12, the principles of the second part of step 12 in all my affairs. And in all what I'm doing, I ask myself, is it protection? Is it confirmation? Is it self-seeking? Do I want to determine the outcome myself, or is it right what I'm doing? Because I have to listen inside, and it's not what I want. The best thing is not what I want. The best thing is what I have to do, and that's changed. And like written in the big book, we are not saints, and I still have a lot of work today, but today it's good, and it's only today. Thank you.